We've all talked about the possibility of the Vikings packaging a bunch of draft picks, a bunch of high draft picks, to move up in the first round and take somebody like J.J. McCarthy or hope that one of the other quarterbacks falls to them. Our friend Alec Lewis from The Athletic posed a different scenario. Let's get into it here on the Viking Update podcast. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. He's John Krasinski from The Athletic. Brandon Morton is our long-term producer. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank Aquarius Home Services, Twill in the Edina Galleria, TSR Injury Law, and Defined Destinations. We'll tell you about John's trip to Spain later in the show. So, John, let's dive into it. Alec thinks there's a possibility that they take the best defensive player available with their first pick and take Michael Penix Jr. with the 23rd pick. I've been high on Penix all along. This does make sense from a value proposition. How realistic do you think it is when you look at it from the Vikings front office perspective?
Yeah, like let me give my guy Alec a little some praise here, because I think A, he's really good. I also think that B, he doesn't throw stuff against the wall that is completely unrealistic. I think when he does these mock drafts, when he tries to kind of look through the scenarios that are available, he's looking through realistic scenarios that not things that are just going to try and get someone's attention, trading up to one and grabbing Caleb Williams or dumping all the way out of the first round in general and just stockpiling picks. Like, he's trying to operate within the realm of reality. And so if he brings it up, I do think it's possible. And it does make some sense in terms of when you think of what Kevin O'Connell likes in a passer, right? I think the thing that he brings up as much as anything is accuracy. And Michael Penix is an accurate passer, especially with the deep ball. And so I think that if the Vikings feel comfortable with Michael Penix's injury history and his ability to stay healthy, I think that that really does make him a realistic and viable candidate to be selected, because he does fit so many of the intangibles and tangible qualities that Kevin O'Connell seems to like in quarterbacks.
Yeah. And as you know, and as longtime listeners of the show know, I've been high on Penix for a long time. I thought he had maybe as good a season as anybody. Well, he was one of, I mean, Daniels was great too. But I thought he had one of the best seasons I've ever seen from a college quarterback, right up until the point where he faced a good Michigan defense that pressured him and beat him up. But he also ran like a 4.6 at his pro day. He throws a beautiful deep ball. He reads defense as well. He's one of those guys who can throw anticipation passes. He can throw people open. He can fit it in tight spots. He throws with touch. So if they evaluated him and decided, okay, the injury was just because, you know, he got beat up like any other quarterback can get beat up, I think he'd be a great value proposition at 23. And it also limits your risk. If you get a great defensive player with the 11th pick, you get your future quarterback with the 23rd. You don't have to add in next year's first round draft pick to move up. All of a sudden, you're getting value out of the draft. And that is always what we look back in retrospect, say, oh man, did they get value in that draft or not?
Right. And I agree with you, Jim, in terms of just like, I didn't watch every throw that Penix threw this year. I have a rudimentary playbook on him, but there's the two games that I watched at the end of the season, obviously in the playoff. The first game, the throws that he was making were jaw dropping, like anticipatory throwing to an open spot and finding a receiver in a tight window. Like, I was just like, this guy is unbelievable. And even Jim, in the game, national championship against Michigan, he did not play well, you could say. He got, you know, pressured, beat up, all of those things. But what I really loved about him was he was really tough, like, and he kept coming back, and he was taking a lot of abuse. It wasn't going great for him, but he just kept coming at the Wolverines. And you know, when you're looking at the physical tools, which he clearly does have, combined with that competitiveness and that unwillingness to give up, like, I just think that that's really impressive. And so to me, the only thing that I'm really concerned about at all with Penix is, like, are those knees, are they going to hold up over the long haul? Is this going to be a long-term investment that you can make in a guy, and will he be able to do it? Because I think just from all of the other qualities that you want in a quarterback, man, it's hard to look at him and say he's lacking in any of those areas. And so, and I think he's a little older too, right? So, yeah. So the idea of him coming in, not maybe playing right away, but certainly having a less steep learning curve, in terms of just absorbing things, becoming a leader on this team, getting going with Justin Jefferson, all of those things versus, you know, another quarterback who maybe doesn't have as much experience, isn't quite as old. I mean, those are interesting qualities as well when you're looking at possibly how this thing will play out.
No doubt. Hey, the Viking Update Show is part of TalkNorth.com. If you like the show, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's the best way to listen to this show or any show you like at TalkNorth.com. I also highly recommend Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider for the front office insider view on the Vikings and the league. Plus, we have Roy Smalley and Lavelle and the Twins. We have John Millay and Preps. Lots of good stuff at TalkNorth.com. Check it all out. We do appreciate it. So let's do this. Let's rank the top six quarterbacks in terms of how you really feel about them at a gut level. And I'll go first while you think about that, because I have been thinking about this. And at a gut level, without trying to pretend I've, you know, broken down 18,000 hours of film, but I have watched all these players, I've read about all these players, and you do get a sense of what they are. My ranking would be Jaden Daniels, number one. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's already a pro-level quarterback. He's efficient. The fact that he runs brilliantly is just a bonus because he's a great passer. I might rank Penix number two on a gut level. Just as a guy who I think does everything you want a pro quarterback to do. He might not be a completely finished product, but he's also excelled in different systems. He raised the whole, you know, quality of that program in Washington. I think he can do it all. I think he's a better athlete than he's being given credit for. And I don't hold it against him that he was hurt as much as a lot of other people, because I just think that football players get hurt. Caleb Williams worries me. The quarterbacks I've been around that I've heard of, you know, my contacts with the league, covering the league for so long, you know, the great quarterbacks are grinders. They don't presume anything. I think Caleb Williams already assumes he's a superstar. That worries me a little bit. So I might go McCarthy number three, just because I think he's a safe pick. He's a winner. He's a good athlete. I think he's going to get better. I don't know if his high end is as high as the other guys, but I think he's a safe pick. I guess Williams next. And then Drake May, I'm not as high on Drake May as a lot of people, just because I didn't like the way he played a lot of times last year. I thought he missed easy throws quite often. I think his footwork needs a lot of work. And then Bo Nix, I think, is a good quarterback prospect, but I just don't think he's quite on the same level as the other guys. John, how do you feel about those six at a gut level?
Yeah, so I'm with you on wondering about Caleb Williams. Not necessarily. I'm less bothered or anything by personality traits or anything like that. I just look at sort of how his season went last year, and I know that the USC defense was terrible and all that, but I just think that I didn't quite see the progression that I was expecting. If you're going to be a number one overall pick, and you kind of come in anointed that way, and I don't think that he did everything to just say there is no question I'm the best, you know, in the field at this position. Here's the real honest truth, and this is not clickbait or anything like that, Jim. I don't put Caleb Williams as the best quarterback because I know the Bears are going to take him, and the Bears never do the right thing at quarterback, and so that in and of itself tells me do not trust this. It is probably not going to work out. So if Caleb Williams is going to the Bears, he probably shouldn't go to the Bears. He's probably not the best quarterback. And so I would say Jaden Daniels, number one for me, just in terms of gut feeling, because I saw him take sort of the Joe Burrow progression at LSU. He was solid 2 years ago, but not lighting the world on fire. And yet he really kind of evolved, developed, and had an unbelievable season for the Tigers in this year. And he got better as his college career, and certainly even as this season went along, reading defenses, making anticipatory throws, running when he's supposed to run, throwing when he's supposed to throw, all of those things, arm talent, all of it. So I would say Daniels one, I'm going to say Williams two. I still think he's so incredibly physically talented that that I would like him at number two. And I agree, JJ McCarthy number three. In terms of, I just like my quarterback to have been in really big games and have some leadership qualities to him that seems like people want to follow him into the fight. And every time that Michigan really needed him, when they needed to abandon the running game and do that, JJ McCarthy came through. And so I really like him as the third. I do think Penix fourth, in terms of overall physical ability, if we're taking injuries out of it, I just really do. I like him there. And if we could somehow ensure that he was going to be healthy for 10 years in this league, I like him more than Drake May, who is fifth on my list. I think Drake May, the questions I have about him are accuracy and decision-making. Like it just seems like those are two very, very important things for a quarterback to have. And those are two things that are question marks about Drake May. And so that always makes me nervous. Now you could say the same thing about Josh Allen when he came out and he's turned into a superstar, but there are exceptions to every rule. It seems like there are very much fewer of the Josh Allen type players who have all this athleticism and struggle with accuracy and decision-making in the college. And then all of a sudden, develop into that at the NFL. And so that's why I would be more concerned about Drake May. And then, Bo Nix would be number six. I think it's unremarkable. He feels to me like I'm trying to think of a comparison quarterback, but just like a guy who could maybe start some games for you. Probably more of a backup over the long haul of his career, but doesn't do anything exceptionally well. And so, not a guy that if you draft him, you're saying absolutely for sure, this is our guy for the next 7, 10, 12 years. It's going to have to be with a bit of a leap of faith that things are going to work out in the right way with Bo Nix.
Yep. Let's get to the kickoffs and some other Vikings news. Let's first thank Aquarius Home Services.
Scott for Aquarius Home Services. We all know knowledge is power, right? It isn't what you know, it's who you know. Did you know that Aquarius Home Services also provides amazing plumbing and electrical services? That's right. From fixing flickering lights to leaky toilets to installing a new water heater. Find out for yourself with $98 off any electrical or plumbing repair. Schedule today at AquariusHomeServices.com and they'll take care of the rest. Aquarius, earning the right to be recommended.
As you know, we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services studios. We also want to have John tell us about his trip to Spain this summer.
DefineDestinations.com. Go there. Look for A Taste of Spain with John Krasinski. We are going to Madrid and Barcelona, August 22nd through 29th. It's going to be a remarkable experience in two of the most exotic cities in the world. 4-star hotels in the hearts of both cities, right close to some of the best and most luxurious sites to see, museums, restaurants, all sorts of just amazing things that we're going to be able to do. We're going to have some dinners together. We're going to have some excursions that are going to be available for us to take together. We're also going to have plenty of time to do things on our own as well and to branch out. And so I really would love to see you all come with us. We're going to, talk some Minnesota sports. We're going to you know, kind of revel together in being in such an amazing place and having a few familiar faces around to enjoy the experience with. I think that's always a heck of a lot of fun. Maybe we'll even knock on Ricky Rubio's door. We'll see how that all plays out. But DefineDestinations.com, A Taste of Spain with John Krasinski, food tours, sangria tours, wine tours, museums, sites to see, guided information for us to make sure we're going to the right places, we're getting in at the right times, and we're seeing the best things that we can possibly see. Takes a lot of pressure away from the sometimes daunting international travel. Bring your friends, bring your coworkers, bring your family, come with and enjoy it. DefineDestinations.com for A Taste of Spain.
I've been telling you about my favorite men's clothing store, Twill, in the Edina Galleria. Twill is incredibly proud to announce that they've added Samuelson to their family of brands. And Scott Dayton, the owner, proprietor, longtime friend of mine, longtime friend of TalkNorth.com, is very picky about who he adds to his family of brands. Twill is a fabulous assortment of suits and sport coats from Samuelson to get you ready for all of your upcoming spring and summer events. Join us at Twill Thursday, April 4th. For their first ever made-to-measure event with Samuelson. Our representative Dorian Anderson will be in the store to help us introduce this brand and assist with your purchases. Special promotions will be included during this event. So go to Twill for all of your spring clothing needs, whether it's shorts for golf, dress shirts, golf shirts, accessories, gifts, fine suits and sport coats, of which I have purchased myself. But check out the Samuelson event this April 4th. If you can't get there for that, just go check it out any other time. Great people, great clothes. I highly recommend it. And a reminder, TSR Injury Oil has been sponsoring the network for a long time. And they always say, keep it simple. If you're injured, you just call 612-TSR-TIME, 612-TSR-TIME. They will take good care of you. They will not charge you unless they win your case. And they win so many cases, they become a company that can have billboards all over the place, even with Steve Terry hanging out with Naz Reid. 612-TSR-TIME. All right. What did you think of the new kickoff rules?
So can you explain them to me again? Because I really don't feel like I even know what the heck is going on there, given all of the Timberwolves drama that I've dealt with the last few days.
I won't get into great detail. People can read about the details. Basically, what they're trying to do is they're trying to reinstate the – and I appreciate this. They were headed toward having no kickoffs, right? Because none of them being returned. It was just a ceremonial play. Now what they're doing is they are having the – defensive team, the kicking team, line up on the other side of the 50-yard line, but not have a running start. So this reduces the velocity of the players coming down to make the tackle. They're letting the blockers line up in front of them and so basically they're having the same number of people blocking and tackling, but they're not sprinting each other in a way that creates a high possibility of injuries. They're rewarding you for kicking the ball in play and having it returned. If you kick it into the end zone or out of the end zone, the other team gets good field position. So they want to have more kickoff returns, but they want to have kickoff returns without the high propensity for injuries. I love this. The only negative I see in this approach is that now you cannot have an onside kick until the fourth quarter, and you have to announce that you're having an onside kick. Therefore, your players can line up next to your kicker instead of well ahead of your kicker. And it takes away the possibility that Sean Payton's going to call a surprise onside kick in the Super Bowl and, you know, have it be this brilliant, risky, strategic move. Now you have to announce your intention, so it's not going to be a surprise. That's, to me, the only negative. The positive is we're going to get kickoffs back and maybe in a safer way.
Yeah, I would agree with all that in terms of, you know, I love the surprise onside kick, yeah. But I also like, this is one of those situations where how often do we really see it?
Once a year.
What are we taking away? So what are we taking away so we can get something that we are going to see much more regularly, which is kickoff returns. And I agree with you because I do think the league absolutely needed to address the kickoff situation because it was becoming much too much of a fait accompli. Like the action that stemmed from those kickoffs was far reduced obviously, you know, player health reasons and all of those things, but it's like, it almost got to a point where like, why are we even going through this exercise right now? Why not just give them the ball on the 25 or whatever and just start there? And I think that that the more that you can eliminate those types of things, give the league credit on in terms of the extra point and moving it back. Like it had gotten to a point where it was almost so automatic. It's like, why are we even bothering with this? And now they moved it back. And at least you do see some guys miss from time to time a little bit more now. And so I've always been a huge fan of the kick return. I think it's an indelible part of the game. And it's something that allows a team to swing momentum very quickly. And it can, and when it is done right, and when, you know, it's blocked up and you get a Devin Hester, Cordero Patterson, whoever it is, like out, you know, making people miss and getting out into the open field, it's one of the most exciting plays in the game. So the more opportunities that we can get for that, I am all for that. And I think that, you know, I'm interested to see how it actually looks once we get it on the field, but anything that can breathe a little bit more life into that play rather than, okay, I can go to the bathroom now because I'm not going to miss anything for the next 5 minutes. I think that that's in the best interest of the league as well.
Let's hit one more topic today. We'll get back to draft speculation, Viking free agent news, and all kinds of other Vikings news next week. For today, let's wrap it up with this. They sign Aaron Jones. I really think it's funny that like a year ago, everybody's saying, don't spend any assets on running backs. And this year, everybody, like so many good teams, so many well-thought-of teams are spending money on running backs. The Vikings are one of them. They go out and get Aaron Jones. Is the running back room right now good enough? And did they make a good decision in bringing in Aaron Jones?
I mean, I like bringing in Aaron Jones. Certainly much more talented than anybody that they had at that position last season. I, of course, worry about his age, worry about the injuries that he's had, and wonder how much tread is left on the tire. But if their plan, which it does seem to be, if their plan is we're going to have Aaron Jones, he's going to sort of be the lead guy, the headliner, but Ty Chandler is going to get a lot more work, I'm intrigued by that. I want to see Ty Chandler in his, you know, with more reps, with a more consistent workload, if he is able to handle that. And given his explosiveness, I think that you could look at the two of them being very complementary. I don't think it would preclude me, Jim, from if, you know, in the whatever, fourth round, fifth round, whatever, you see a running back that has slid and you really like the potential, I wouldn't mind grabbing another one. And just in case Jones is over the hill and cannot stay healthy, and just for the long term, because I think Aaron Jones is a very short term fix. So you're going to want to look at Ty Chandler a lot, but I would also get someone else in there as well that you feel good about and just see if that person develops. I don't think Wong Wu has, you know, turned into that. But if there's another developmental running back that you can get in your system that has really good physical tools and maybe over the next year or two could be positioned like a Tony Pollard did with the Cowboys or you know, there's several other examples. That I would be open to that. But as of right now with Jones and Chandler, I feel better about the running back position than I did last year, but still not like, okay, there's nothing to worry about here. We're set at that position.
I agree with pretty much everything you said. I also think that by next year, this team might have a massive amount of salary cap space. Mm-hmm. So if this experiment doesn't work out, they can probably go get a good, you know, free agent running back, just like a bunch of teams did this year.
Yeah, and where I'm excited, where I'm most excited for Aaron Jones is he is so versatile. And I do think that Kevin O'Connell in this offense really wants to be able to use the running back in passing situations. And look, Madison just was not that guy. And so he was a 3 yards in a cloud of dust guy. I think that the ability to catch the ball, the ability to just do, he did so many different things in Green Bay that he's going to come into this offense and be able to really check a lot of boxes and do a lot of different things. And so if he can stay healthy, again, is he going to be a 1500 yard guy? No, but I do think that he can bring an element of explosion and of dynamic play and playmaking, both in the passing game and the running game, that they just did not have last year, as long as he does stay healthy. So from a tool standpoint, in terms of a fit with a running back skill set and the offense that he's coming to, it's really, really ideal when you look at Aaron Jones with this Vikings offense.
Agreed. And one other aspect of this that I find fascinating is last year we saw Jordan Love really, he was up and down a bit, came on strong at the end of the year and had some big games. And obviously the Cowboys playoff victory was really impressive. I really think that when Aaron Jones is on the field, Jordan Love was a better quarterback. So for a team that's about to draft a quarterback, Aaron Jones could be a really nice get.
Yeah, it's a great point, because you know we've seen a lot of the draft analysts look at this draft coming up, and I think every day almost you hear someone else saying, you know, if I'm a quarterback in this draft, I want to go to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
And it's Kevin O'Connell and his system. It's Justin Jefferson. It's T.J. Hockenson. It's Jordan Addison. It's Christian Darrisaw, Brian O'Neill. But it's also Aaron Jones. Like, I think that is a very important safety blanket for a quarterback to come into and just have enough weapons and experienced weapons around him that would make the learning curve a lot easier for him. And so, yeah, I think that kind of an acquisition, again, provided that he's healthy, really does help a rookie quarterback learn what they have to do and takes a lot of the burden off of them. And so that's a smart play by Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell to go get someone like that if you're going to have a young quarterback take a lot of snaps this year.
Thanks again to Define Destinations, to Aquarius Home Services, to Twill in the Edina Galleria, twillmn.com, and TSR Injury Law. For Brandon Morton and John Krasinski, I'm Jim Suhan. We'll talk to you next week.